ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Damn straight. Welcome aboard, everyone. The phone number is 309-3879, although make sure it's to the point. Chris's time is very precious, isn't it, Chris?
Hell yeah.
Speaking of time being precious, there's something that we all must face once in our lifetime, and that is death.
Oh, selling insurance, eh, John?
Yes, I am. So, Chris, are we touching on palliative care?
Yeah, we thought we'd start with a cheery topic. And there was an interesting article in The Guardian this week, Drug Trips Not Broken Hips, Let Later Life Be the Age of Irresponsibility. And I thought, well, actually, this is a pretty interesting concept to talk about. Mm. And that's that we have an age of responsibility when we talk about R18 or R20, right? We have a minimum age when you can responsibly, or society says you can responsibly use a certain set of legal drugs.
You can
after
that
the, age.
You can never get the taxed stuff that's available.
Yep, and we want to add cannabis in there, right? And homegrown too. But what this is proposing, well, maybe there should be an age of irresponsibility. When you get to your senior years, you know, screw it. Should you be able to do what you want?
Yeah.
You know, and particularly if you're dying, if you're undergoing palliative care, then should you be able to have access to things like MDMA and psilocybin to ease that, right? And there's a lot of interesting studies, including some stuff that's going on right here at Auckland University involving psychedelics for palliative care.
Right.
So, I mean, if people are facing the end of their life, then what do the rest of us care, right?
We're talking about like someone's about to die? Is that when because I'm more of the line of like, when you're like, I don't know, 40 or something, there's some people that have kind of skipped the rad part of life, where if they could go through a guided trip, like John was saying earlier off air, if you could go through a guided trip, it would really help a lot of people with their like compassion and like general understanding, I think, of the cosmos. If they could really push
quite
the boat
possibly.
Out one time.
That sounds medicinal, you know? So yeah, I guess what this is talking about is more, well, when you get to older, can you just self-medicate with whatever you want?
Right.
So it might not have to be guided as such. Get what you're saying?
Yeah.
But palliative care is something that is when you're staring at the end of your life, no matter what age.
Oh, yeah, man, fucking go nuts, bro.
Yeah, so there's that. There's palliative is one thing, and that can be at any age. And then there's actual, okay, what's the age of irresponsibility? Is it 65 when you get your gold card? Go for it. Or do it a couple more years? I don't know. Pass a course? Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
When they take your driver's license,
interesting concept,
you can take whatever you want.
Yeah, and we're kind of doing it with palliative care now to an extent with the medical cannabis scheme, because the law that passed in December and took effect on December 18th legalized medical cannabis use for patients undergoing palliative care. That is legal right now. Right now they can't get any products yet,
right,
but they can obtain it and they can use it and they can possess it. So this is all a very good thing.
How
right?
do you obtain it if you can't get any products?
Good question. The Ministry of Health and their advice to the Select Committee when we raised this very question and said, well, how are they going to obtain it? And there should be some legal protection provided to the people that supply it to them.
Mm.
And the ministry said, well, no, actually, because it wouldn't be a crime, the obtaining, then the supplying to them wouldn't be a crime either.
Wow, the loophole,
that's a kind of twisted
gross.
Logic, but if that holds up, you know, that was their advice. So presumably that's what the government's acting on. So anyway, that's legal.
This is a great time we're in.
But for the vast majority of people, now we're talking 180,000 New Zealanders use cannabis medically, right? They're using on average a gram a day. That's 180,000 grams per day, 365 days a year. That gives New Zealand a medical cannabis usage of about 65 tonnes.
Rad.
So that's what needs to be produced. Our current allowance for New Zealand, according to the UN, is 7,000 grams, 7 kilos. We need 65 tons. So
spots on!
That's one of my tips. That's
save
one of my
that
tips.
Weed, everyone.
That was point number five, was up the limit. But if we start from point number one, so I've got these 10 tips, right? So
it's
we
great
have,
to have the numbers.
We have this legal medical cannabis right now, but it's applying to 25,000 palliative care patients that can't actually obtain it legally,
right,
or
right.
maybe not. CBD is also legal, but there are no products available, so that hasn't really changed anything. So if we think about, well, how are we actually going to get medical cannabis happening by the end of the year, which is what the government said and what is in the law, rather than we get to the end of the year and then companies maybe start to apply, maybe they get their license in a year, maybe they start growing the year after, we're talking 2021, 2022 before anything is really happening. That would be disaster.
When you consider, with the stuff happening now in Christchurch, the government has to take care of stuff like right away, and I'm kind of stoked that they're doing stuff like that, but these things like this do pop up, and
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of getting to that start line on time is just about the prep and thinking about these fish hooks and dealing with them. So this is exactly what we're here for, is to try and say, well, hey, here's a potential issue and here's how you resolve it. And obviously, one of the things is allowing herbal cannabis as well as pharmaceuticals. So having kind of two pathways, having a regular pharmaceutical pathway, do your trials, get your GMP, you register like a medicine, doctors are happy, hospitals are happy, awesome. And then but that's going to take a while, right? Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars, could take years. Meanwhile, you have another pathway that allows herbal production straight away. And we're producing there more like to a herbal food type standard.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, that means you can get to market right away. Patients could have products right away rather than 2 or 3 years.
Who grows that? Who grows the herbal stuff? I don't know what you...
it could be the same companies.
Okay, but
it could
be different companies. You don't have to worry about certain things, or it's less
stringent? No, you would still have product standards, and that's what they're doing over the course of this year, is working out those product standards. So there are obviously already product standards for pharmaceuticals. They already exist. Mm. And now what the ministry is doing is working out product standards for the other side, for the herbal. This is already one. This is not an us. This is happening.
It's an analog kind of product, it's different.
No. It's just you're not treating it the same as a regular pharmaceutical. You're treating it
more like a herbal medicine.
Food
standard kind of thing.
Pretty much.
Maybe a little
bit tighter. Yeah. And that's like Canada and other countries, and that lets people get to market straight away rather than still talking about it in a few years. Mm. So that's already one, right? That's a tick. Ding. The way, though, that we make that seamless is what we're going to have over the course of this year is a bunch of companies conducting research, and they're already 3 licensed, right? And there'll be more.
Let the record show that Chris didn't do quote marks with his hands or anything.
No, I kind of waved a little thing rather than quote marks. Yeah, I was pointing to lab equipment that I'm imagining. Anyway, there is research going to happen, but none of that research can be used for human consumption, right? So what we're going to end up, if we don't think carefully about this, is that companies are going to be destroying the medical cannabis that they've produced under their research license while patients are suffering and don't have access. That is one way it could play out.
That is so
rank,
by the way.
All they have to do, though, is the license is already issued to that company A for research. Change the condition on the license. It says this can only be for research, and you change it and you let them sell it to doctors and pharmacies. That's all that has to happen.
Right.
Very, very simple. They have to actually do that.
They have to prove that research hasn't killed a rat and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that. So, and then the third trick is, you know, be ready for all this. Give the ministry the resources and the other regulators the resources so they can do all this ahead of time and we're not still talking about it next year.
Kaupai.
Let any doctor prescribe it. That's trick number 4. So we don't want this siloed into specialists, and we don't want to have patients having to go around to see all these different people. Mm. Or let any doctor prescribe it.
They should also consider it in New Zealand, would you say?
Some of them are. A lot of them are. And some of them think that it should only be specialists because they don't have the knowledge themselves. So that's more a challenge. Yeah, that's a challenge to that individual doctor to keep up. Mm. And this is now modern medicine. It's from the past, but it's also the future of medicine.
The irony,
and
right?
The endocannabinoid system is the biggest neurotransmitter system we have in the brain. It's bigger than anything else. So it's really important that doctors know about it. Rather than saying, oh, they should go to a specialist, it's up to that doctor to keep up. You know, help them, give them guidance and get those kind of continuing education programs happening. They should consider letting nurses do certain products. So any doctor should be able to prescribe it, but there should be certain formats that perhaps nurses can prescribe to.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, CBD should be over the counter. Then again, if we do that, that's like every other country.
Non-psychoactive, right? So everyone knows.
Absolutely.
CBD,
it's just a health supplement, and every other country, it's just over the counter. It's us in Australia that are treating it strangely. Let hemp producers supply the medical companies. Now, at the moment, they've got this artificial division, and the hemp producers are having to throw away their biomass, their waste products. They're using the seed and the fiber and the resin-containing bits they're throwing away. Now MPI is saying they can't even put it into the ground because they'll be contaminating the ground with a drug. So it's like, well, where the hell do they dispose of it? Well, hey, the solution is you dispose of it to a licensed medical company, and that licensed medical company is allowed to possess it. That's really simple. It solves the problem for the hemp farmer, and it gives the medical producer a source of cheap biomass that they can extract those cannabinoids from and then put a product out. So it's another really important tip to ensuring we get access straight away. Pharmacies going to be our dispensaries. So they also need to get with the program, and we need to really help them.
The
pharmacies are going to be dispensing it. That's where you'll go to get your prescriptions filled, just like a regular medicine. So again, pharmacies need to get with the program.
It'll be a situation where you go in and they'll have it out the back kind of thing. It won't be on the shelf and stuff, eh?
Yeah,
maybe the CBD stuff might, but not.
Yeah, exactly.
Psychoactive stuff.
And allow communications. At the moment, they're kind of getting in knots and thinking, oh, we can't even talk to them about these things because they're unapproved products, so we can't even talk to the pharmacies or the doctors.
That's the weirdest bit.
Yeah, just get over it because they need the information.
It's such a temporary time for that to just to happen, but it can be such a roadblock because everyone's afraid, right? And it's like, well, we're in the process of coming out of the fear now.
Yeah. You know, and 10th tip, last one, streamline the process. At the moment, there's no real proposal to change that. It's just a standard prescription process. Mm-hmm. Except, having said that, Medicines Act is also under review. Submissions are open now. Mm. They close, I think, towards the end of this month.
Okay.
It's actually going to change our hospitals, GPs, pharmacies, everything, the way that medicines are registered, promoted, advertised, all of that, right? It's all up for review. And that's going to have a huge effect on the access to medical cannabis, because one of the things that they're talking about is not allowing access to unapproved products. And all medical cannabis products will be unapproved products until they get approval.
Right.
So that will mean that's another fishhook. They're amending the Medicines Act, and an unintended consequence will be there'll be no medical cannabis products.
It's super butterfly.
It's really weird. So it's, again, just another thing pointed out to them. Now we know the problem. Now we can solve it.
Right, right. Right on. Very nice. Hey, just lastly, a little fact from a texter here. Paracetamol works on cannabinoid receptors as well.
It does.
Buzzing. Yes. They nailed that one, though. Paracetamol, they nailed.
Well, they didn't know why it worked.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And now they do.
Cheers, mate.
All right. See you next week.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.